Bring, I tried to transfer, I have my Word document, and I was trying to bring things into my pages as a, what I can kind of teach off of better. And in transferring some of those things, I had some difficulties with my Word, and so I didn't get the notes together, because I also need the Word document to make the notes on the printer in here. But I will have, what I'll do next week is I'll have everything, even from the verse references, sectioned out from today as well. And I'll have that next week, because I don't think we're going to quite finish this section here today anyway. So that's what we'll do. Oh, and it helps to have my right notes up. Sorry about that. There we go. And so as we started talking about the church last week, and looking at what the church is, the gathering of believers, we talked about the universal sense of the church, of all believers from all time, from Pentecost on until Christ returns to take the church out of this world, of believers that are still here on the earth, to believers that have died and are with Christ, present with Christ, so they're absent from the body. And so all believers across even denominational lines that are truly trusting in the true gospel of Christ make up the universal church. And then the expression of our membership in the universal church is our membership in the local church, in our local gathering. And so North Valley, here we are an example of a local church. And so our spiritual baptism and the Spirit baptizing us into the body of Christ, that is also expressed in our water baptism as we become members in the local churches as well. And then we started getting into some of the metaphors that Scripture gives us for the church and the metaphors that describe our relationship with God as the church. And it also brings into light to our relationship with each other as well. And so we talked about some of those things, that God is our shepherd, we are the sheep, right? He is the king, we are the citizens of his kingdom. He is our master, we are his slaves. He is our father through adoption in Jesus Christ. And we talked about that. Not everyone can say that God is their father. There is the understanding in the which that God is the father of all in the sense that all have come from him. They owe their existence to him. But in the idea of a relationship with him, being in the family of God, not everyone can call God their father. Only those who have been adopted through Jesus Christ and in putting their trust in Christ for salvation know that relationship. And so if we are then children of God, with God as our father, then we are the household of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we went over those things and talked about some of those implications. And so we're going to continue with the idea, with some of these metaphors that we see here in Scripture today. But again, understanding the membership of the church, united together in Christ, having fellowship together with one another in the Holy Spirit, that fellowship carries the idea of joining in with and sharing with. The idea of fellowship is sharing in with each other, and the relationship that Christians have with one another in the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, the new life that Christians share together. So we should be sharing our new life in Christ together. That our lives in Christ are not separately lived. We don't have it's not my individual, my personal. I mean, we talk like that sometimes. You know, we talk about our personal walk with Christ, and there's truth to that. Salvation is on the personal level, but when I have that walk with Christ, when I have that life in Christ, it's not just my personal life, it's my life in community with the rest of believers, and that's how God has designed that. And so we live in this fellowship, and this fellowship God has put us in, he has given us commands in how we live with each other and serve each other. And some of that comes out in the metaphors for the church that he has given. And so we have this relationship with one another. John Hammett, he said this. He said, "Fellowship was also expressed in believers living what may be called the one another life. There are more than 30 specific commands regarding how believers are to act towards one another, including forgiving one another, encouraging one another, accepting one another, and most of all, loving one another, which appears 17 times. So I think this demonstrates one of the importance of the church gathering together. For otherwise, we could not obey the one another commands if we were not with one another. If we were not sharing that life together. And so the fellowship that's called for in God's Word demonstrates that the members of the church belonging with one another, that's to be maintained. And it's vital in pursuing the unity that Christians have together. The unity that Christ prayed for His church in John 17. And Paul urges the church to preserve that unity in the Spirit. In Ephesians 4. And so the church in the New Testament, they met together. They met together for fellowship. They met together for being in the Word together. We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, "And they devoted themselves," and I think these things that they devoted themselves to there in the early church are things we must devote ourselves to as well. "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread," that's communion, "and to prayer." And so we should be devoted to those same things. The apostles' teaching, which how are we devoted to that? I mean, are there still apostles today? Yeah, right. We have what the apostles wrote in the Word of God, in the Scriptures. And so we go through those. We teach on them. We study them. We hold each other accountable to that teaching. And again, into the fellowship. We must be devoted to the fellowship. Devoted to our celebration of communion and remembering our Lord and proclaiming His death till He comes, and be devoted to our dependency on our Lord in our prayer and seeking Him. And again, I think a lot of this gets played out in those metaphors that God has given for the church and our relationship between us and God, and therefore to our relationship with each other. And so again, as we went through a list of things, we're going to focus a little more on certain ones here today. So the first that we're going to look at here is the body, that the church is the body of Christ. This is the most used metaphor in the Scriptures, in the New Testament. This picture of the church is used in reference to both the individual local church and to the universal church as well. This depicts the unity of the church. Each member is now joined together with Christ as our peace, right? And we looked at the idea of Christ as our peace, joining together as one new man there in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. And so whether Jew or Gentile, or anything else about us, those things are not what matters. But being in Christ is what matters. Being in Christ, and so believers are now one in Christ. And so we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, says, "For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all were made to drink of one Spirit." So again, being one. And then, you know, we'll look at again Ephesians 2, verse 16. Ephesians 4, 6 says, "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all." In all of this, in our one Lord and one Spirit and one hope and one call, all of this, there is unity together as one. We share in these things as one. We have fellowship together then in these things as one. We're united together. And so we are one in Christ. And so just as our body has different parts, yet it's all one body. So each of us as members, there's many members in the body, but it's all one body. And to then in this illustration, Christ is the head. Because Christ, it's His church. It's His body. He is the one with the authority over the church. And He's the one who sets the direction for the church. So He is the head of the church. Also, the members of the body all play a part and have a role to play for the body to function as it should. So just think of your own physical body. you have all different parts and organs and members of your body, each one doing their part so that your body can function properly. If you lose one of those parts, your body's not going to function the way it is. You know, people always talk about the appendix, right? You know, what does the appendix do? You can get it cut out and nothing seems to really change. Well, as far as we know, at least, right? There have been other organs that we didn't know what they did at some point, and then we figured out, oh, no, that does something. That's kind of important. We might not know really what our appendix does right now, but I'm sure it does something. And to cut it out in some way, even if we don't notice, our body loses something. And I think that's true, too. We may have, we in our own thinking, in our the self-centeredness that hasn't been weeded out yet by the Holy Spirit, we might, in our own pride and sinfulness, look at someone else and say, oh, why do we really need them? They're kind of like an appendix. We can cut them out and we won't really even know the difference. But that's in our own ignorance. We should understand the body of Christ as the body that Scripture teaches. That each one in the body is necessary. That God is using the membership of the body to meet the needs of the church. For the church to function as it must. Each and every member plays a part in that. And so as we think of our membership, even here in this expression of the church, in this local church, we should understand that about everyone else, each one has a part to play. And we should also understand that about ourselves. That we should not be tempted to remove ourselves from the fellowship and the gathering and the serving together. Because if I don't involve myself with each other, if I'm not living this Christian life in community with each of you, then I am taking something away from the body. And so I should understand the commitment to membership in the church and how vital it is for all of us together, that we are together a body and each member is important for the body to function as the body was designed by its creator. And so we should think about that and how we involve ourselves with each other and how maybe we are tempted to maybe back away and, oh, I'm so busy and I got all of this. And so how we prioritize life. I mean, we all have many different priorities and I get that. And we need to fulfill those priorities, but being together in community with one another, serving each other needs to be part of those priorities and needs to be high on that priority list because God has made us a body together. And so we need to understand that. Any thoughts on that before we move on?
I think it involves a lot more than just serving together, but ministering to each other. And that involves, if we already know from the very beginning that we're sinners in desperate need of God's mercy and grace, and that by faith and repentance in Christ we are made new and are being made new, that means that we're all a mess. And there are people uniquely designed by God that are a part of this church that can speak into my mess. But if we come to our services focused on just ministering to in ways of singing or nursery or teaching Sunday school, we don't realize that there's so much more to this body than just doing stuff. And beginning to open up to say, hey, my name's Rob, I'm a bag of dirt in desperate need of God's grace. Then the body takes a more intimate relationship that is beneficial to the whole. And I think we've got to grow in that. Because we, on the outside, we look really, really good. If we're Andrew, we sound really, really good. But we shouldn't be afraid to just open up and share with trusted believers what's really going on. Because it's a mess.
Right. Yeah, and so we need each other and serving each other to grow for, and there's a lot of ways I think you can apply that and think about it. I mean, one, just in keeping ourselves accountable, in seeing things that we don't see in ourselves. You know, it's easy for me to turn a blind eye to certain aspects of my life that I want to hold on to, that another believer can see more readily than I can, right? But also, too, I think, yeah, we have a tendency to put on a masquerade, right? That we want to look a certain way. We don't want people to look down on us for, but again, like you said, the gospel tells us we're already a mess. That's why we need the gospel, right? If our masquerades were true, we wouldn't need the gospel. They wouldn't, if they weren't masquerades. But the fact that we need the gospel, because we're sinners, and we still wrestle with sin, and we still fail. And so part of that sanctification, part of that growth, part of that is God putting us together and serving each other. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And we see, too, as the body functions, as we get into the abilities that we're given, you know, we talk, referred to as the gifts of the body. And so what is your part to play? I mean, that is in, we see in 1 Peter here, in serving one another, right? Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And so we'll move into that. We'll move into 1 Peter here. We've recently talked about 1 Peter. But again, the church is growing up into Christ-likeness, right? As the body of Christ together. In the role that we play. So Christ feeds and he meets the needs of his church, and he does that through the leadership in some sense, in the primary sense that we see in Ephesians 4 that he gives the leaders and calls those different ones so that the church will be equipped for the ministry, for serving, and for those things to grow and mature, building up together in Christ-likeness. Again, that's Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. Let me just read that there real quick as we see that. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11. It says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the Spirit and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro from the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, with each part is working properly, making the body grow so that it builds up itself in love." And so again, there, through the leadership God has given, he talks about apostles and prophets, but that was for the early New Testament time. The apostles were not replaced as they died off, and prophets gave revelation from God, but we have that complete in the Scriptures. But still, in the pastors and teachers, he equips the church for that work of ministry, so that the work of ministry is not just the pastor's and teacher's job, but the work of ministry is everybody's job. Everybody working together, each one, as it says, doing its part, that we build up each other in love. And so that we serve each other. And so as members of the church, we have been given spiritual gifts to do that by Christ's grace through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And so these gifts are abilities to serve, right? And in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, which we've recently gone over, we see that believers' priority within the body is to love one another, even loving those who have not been so loving towards us. We're to love. And loving one another, we look out for what is in one another's best interest, being there for one another, reaching out to each other during hard times, checking in on each other, and all of those things. Therefore, Peter calls for hospitality without grumbling. You know, if you remember, that's there in verse 9. If you remember, we talked about this word hospitality. We often think of it as, you know, just inviting someone into our home and providing them a meal and kind of just sitting down and chewing the fat, both literally and figuratively, over a meal. And, you know, we think that that's hospitality, but the word really is to love strangers. And so it refers to showing love to anyone. Showing love, not just in welcoming to your home. Well, that's a great way to do that. And if that's your ministry, great, but that's just not the only way to show hospitality. Hospitality is the idea of loving, looking out for the best interest, doing what's for the other one's best for anyone. And as we in the church, we love one another and serve each other. We use the gifts that we've been given, again, to serve each other. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards," what's a steward? A caretaker. Basically someone who has been given something that they have responsibility for, right? It's theirs, they have responsibility, but it's not theirs. And so, with these gifts, these gifts don't belong to us. For us to just use as we is convenient for us, to just use when we want to or for our own gain. But these gifts, we are stewards of them. They belong to God. And we're to use them as good stewards of God's varied gifts, varied graces, as it says here. Varied graces. So many different, all the gifts we've been given are God's grace. And there's varied graces. We all have different gifts. And so he says, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. And so as we serve, as we care for each other, as we love each other, and use these gifts that God has given us to do so, to function together as the body, to love each other and to build each other up in love, what is the end goal ultimately? That God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, right? Yeah, absolutely. That's the end goal. So this implies that every Christian is gifted in some way and have responsibility to exercise those gifts to serve one another together in the body. The Apostle Paul makes clear in Romans 12 that though the church's members do not all function the same way, together each one makes up the one body, and they are to function within that body, not thinking, well, my function is more important. Or not thinking another function, where I wish I had that, right? He covers that in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. If I don't have those gifts, then I don't want to do anything. Well, no. How has God gifted you for the purposes he has for you? And so in Romans 12, 3, he says, you should not think of yourself more highly than he should not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Again, just like a body, the church has many members, each one working a different way for different purpose, and yet belongs to each other. And the gifts of each member given, it's in the power of the Holy Spirit, not our own natural ability. So we're not just talking about talents here. We're talking about a supernatural working of the Holy Spirit in each of us to fulfill these things. So I think sometimes what happens is, too, we just kind of think of our own talents and our own abilities and what we naturally do and what we naturally tend to be drawn to. And so we think of that as our role. Don't get me wrong, I do think those things are part of our role. How God has even naturally wired us plays into how we can function together as a church. But if we ignore the idea of the supernatural work of God in us, in the abilities he gives us, then I think we're missing what it is to serve together as the church. And we've talked about this before. How do we recognize, how do we find out what our gifts are? We listed a couple things. By reading the scriptures, right? So going to those passages, looking at what the gifts are, praying about it, right? Seeking God in prayer on these things, asking for wisdom and opportunities. And then what was the last thing? What was that? Talking to each other, right? Diving in and serving, looking where there's opportunities. And then as the church gathers and says, hey, you know what? You're doing good in this area. God is clearly doing a work through you here. Or as the church lovingly comes alongside you and says, maybe you can try something else. Maybe there is other areas, you know. And so in the church recognizing those things, And so I think we want to do that, and we got to look into that. And the word that's used for gifts here, and especially too as Paul talks about them in Romans and in 1 Corinthians 14, the word gifts is charisma, and the root of that word is the Greek word for grace. These gifts, these abilities to serve within the church, are given to us not according to what we deserve. We don't deserve to serve in the church. We don't deserve to be part of the body at all. It's a privilege that's been given to us by grace. And so whatever abilities, whatever place God has put us in the church, it's only by His grace, by His unmerited favor, that He's given us such a privilege to serve Him through serving His body. And we should recognize that. Romans 12, verses 6 to 8 says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. So whatever grace God has given us, this is the differences in our gifts that we should recognize that it's not what we deserve. And so in saying that, he goes on, he says, let us use them, those varying gifts, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in serving, the one who teaches, in teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes, in his generosity, the one who leads, with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. And in 1 Corinthians 12, 5-7, it says, and there are varied services, but the same Lord. And there are varied varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For the common good. So I'm looking out for the good, not of myself, but of others. In serving and being committed to the body. And really, the point there, too, is unity. Because what was going on in the Corinthian church? Everyone wanted the splashy, showy gifts, the upfront gifts. I want to speak in tongues. I mean, whoever speaks in tongues, they're super spiritual. And so I definitely want to speak in tongues. And that led to all misuses and even letting in what really wasn't the gift of tongues into the church. And so Paul was addressing that issue, being, listen, whatever gift you have, it's by grace. And so they should be served, because you are all serving the same God. There is unity together in this. We shouldn't be divided because so-and-so has a gift that I want and I don't have that gift. We should recognize we're all together serving the one true God. It's the one God that has given us those gifts for the common good of all. And so again, the point there is unity. All variety of gifts, but one true God. One God that we serve. And when you use your gifts, when we are serving each other, we are all then experiencing together the manifestation of the Spirit among us. Right? Because who empowers us with these gifts? The Spirit, right? And so as we serve one another, as we have compassion, the one who has compassion, the one who speaks, and the one who leads, and the one who teaches, and the one who has mercy, in functioning as God has placed us in the church, we experience then through that the manifestation of the Spirit among us. And so what we end up doing then is when we don't practice our gifts, when we're not seeking to do this and have this membership within the body, we're gypping ourselves and our brothers and sisters in Christ of the manifestation of the Spirit among us. Because that's what the working out of my abilities are. You know, there's a lot of churches and things that I mean, the Spirit is greatly emphasized, and even in some places overemphasized in the sense that it's over the other persons of the Trinity. But His work among us, nonetheless, I think we have the tendency sometimes to go the other direction, where the Holy Spirit is nothing more than a theological talking point instead of a person, instead of God Himself working among us. And we need to recognize that's who He is. And in experiencing the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit working in us, it's God working in us and experiencing Him in that way. And again, that should bring us together all the more, grow us in unity all the more. It's one Spirit working in all of us, all the variety of gifts together. And so we depend on him and continue to depend on him for those things, in glorifying God in our service. So we want to do our part to equip, do our part in being committed to each other, doing our part as the body of Christ, that we would all be built up together into Christ-likeness, built up in love with one another as we do our part. Any other thoughts or questions or comments on being the body together? Right. Right. No matter what your, the way you serve or in what position you're in, yeah, it's, all of it's by grace. Yeah. It's not because of really anything about you or about me or anyone else. It's all about Christ. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Do we see the commitment to each other in being the body? The commitment to living the life together. I mean, how are we going to really be the body together if we're not together? And together, not just in the fact, well, we sit here among each other in the seats as we sing songs, although that is part of it. I mean, we're told in Ephesians and Colossians that's part of how we encourage each other, that we sing. That's to be encouraging. But that's not all that is the function of the body, that we just kind of sit here together in the same presence in the same room and sing together and listen to the scriptures being read and hear sermons together. Although, again, that is part of it. But what do we also do even beyond that together in serving one another and living this life together? What does that look like as the body, that we function together, not just sitting shoulder to shoulder or, well, not anymore, but sitting together in the same room? What do we do with the songs and the encouragement? What do we do with the sermons that we hear, with the Word of God read and preached? What do we do with that to invest in each other's lives and hold each other accountable? What do we do beyond that hour together to be the body of Christ? I think we need to contemplate that. Yeah.
Because, you know, the two sections flow together in the scriptures. You take that seriously.
Yeah, I think you're right. So Andrew said about how in Hebrews 10 and the command to meet together moves then from into apostasy of those who fall away. And it's true. In our meeting, God saves us. God keeps us saved, right? We don't save ourselves. We don't keep ourselves saved. And so if we are truly saved, we remain saved. If we are repentance and faith saved, we can't lose that. But in keeping us saved, God uses means to keep us saved, right? And one of those means is the church. And that is valid. That's true. So, anything else? All right. I appreciate it. We'll talk about the bride of Christ and next time, and being a temple, the temple of God, those metaphors we'll get into next week. But with that said, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you, again, made us a body together, that you have united us. And Lord, we're not people who are united because of a common interest, though some of us may have common interests, but many of us don't. We're not united together because of a specific demographic about us, of age or anything else like that. That's not what brings us together. And if it was, Lord, our gathering would be no different than the world. And so, Lord, I pray that you would impress on our hearts the supernatural power it is in the working of the Holy Spirit that we gather in the name of Christ, that we gather and are united together because of Christ and in the work of the Holy Spirit demonstrated, manifested among us. And Lord, I pray that we see the privilege that it is, that we get to be part of that, that it's in the church gathering together, it's in the church serving each other, it's in the church loving each other and building each other up and doing its part, that puts your glory on display right now most prominently in the world, and that we get to be part of that. I thank you for that, Lord. And so, Father, I pray that you, again, cause us to be building each other up and being part of what it means to be members here in North Valley, as that is the expression of our membership in your universal church. I thank you. Glorify yourself in each one of us. Amen.